Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Today we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Who knows what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is about? Gifts. Cool. Let's go there. The spiritual gifts. Verse 1 to verse 11. It'll come up on the screen if you don't have your Bible. Who's got their Bible today? Oh, so good. Who's got their phone on their Bibles today? So good. Everyone's got the word. You can get it on your phone. You can get it hard copy. Verse 1, now that you're there. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So here we have Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. Now, these people that Paul is speaking to, the church, it's quite a young church. They've grown up as Gentiles, not as Jews, not as Israelites, not as the people of God, but they've grown up as Gentiles. They didn't know God. They would worship idols, and these idols were mute. They wouldn't talk to them. But now they've heard the gospel. They're like you and I. They've been saved. And they're young Christians, they're so excited. They're seeing the Spirit move in their church, in their worship services. They're going nuts, they're going crazy. There's God speaking to them through the Word, God speaking to them through people, God speaking to them personally through the Holy Spirit. And they're seeing the gifts of the Spirit at work. People are moving prophetically, people are speaking in tongues, and people are like, oh, I can speak in tongues, oh, I can prophesy, and they're getting all, you know, and like, oh, I've got this, I'm the man, you know, I'm this, I'm that. And they're starting to fight about all those sort of things, putting so much importance on the gifts, and there's just, it's getting messy. And there's so much confusion and division in the church. So Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed about the spiritual gifts. Because who knows, when we are ignorant, or when we don't know the purpose of something, abuse is inevitable. If you don't know the purpose of something, abuse is inevitable. If you don't know the purpose of something, you might not even use it. Non-use. If you don't know the purpose of something, you might misuse it. So he says to them, I don't want you to be ignorant. So he starts to tell them about the spiritual gifts. You know it. If you've got an iPhone, next thing you move to a Samsung or an Android, you really need to work out how to work that thing. Otherwise, you're going to miss out. It's going to become annoying, or you're just going to chuck it. Misuse or non-use. I had a guitar. I still have it. I used it for a few months. I'm thinking, man, it's been 10, 12 years. I could be up here with Christian playing the guitar. But I didn't learn enough. I didn't put time into it to explore the guitar like eight has explored the guitar. So we got to learn about these things, because there's purpose in them. What's a gift that you've received that's been like a great gift? one of the best gifts you've ever received. Some gifts, you just use them, you know, there and then it's done. But there's some gifts that you have that are gifts that keep on giving. I think of a Dyson, because some people might not rate that, but that thing is faithful. If I try and get a broom, yeah, try and get a dustbuster, yeah, but I get my Dyson, man, it is just a gift to me that keeps on giving. So our title today is The Gift That Keeps On Giving. What gift can you think of for you that is a gift that keeps on giving? There you go. His wife. See, when something is a gift that keeps on giving, it means there's a continual benefit that you get from it every time. There's continual positive consequences from that gift. Now, when we talk about the spiritual gifts, there's supernatural abilities that we're given by the Holy Spirit for the edification of the church, for the building up of the church. Supernatural abilities that God gives us. But where do these gifts come from? Before we even talk about, we heard about the gifts, but before we go any further, where do these gifts come from? When we go through that 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 3, we hear that you have to be in the Holy Spirit. To proclaim the name of Jesus, you have to be in the Holy Spirit. To have the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, you get them from the Holy Spirit. And that's how we have relationship with God. It says you can't say Jesus is Lord unless you're in the Holy Spirit. So the source of the gifts of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The gifts are empowered by God. We heard so much in there, it kept saying one and the same Spirit, one and the same Lord, one and the same God. It keeps pointing to one and the same God, one and the same Lord, one and the same Spirit. This is where the gifts come from. This is who we are to seek. So the gifts, there was many of them, right? There's a variety of them, but they're singular in origin. They all come from God. James 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift, James 1 17, is from above. Every perfect gift, every good gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So what is the source of the gifts? The Holy Spirit, our God. That is where the gifts come from. But who is it that gets these gifts? Who are the recipients of the spiritual gifts? We are. I love Michael. He's encouraging me, man. You guys thinking the same thing? Hey? Do it. If you know where the gifts are from or who they're from, let me know. They're for you and I. They're for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. So the gifts are for you and me. But how do we receive these gifts? How do we receive them? They're given. The Spirit. Come on. People are talking to me. I love this. They're given to us when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we receive Jesus, when we are saved. That's when we get the gifts. But who gets what? It's like, so which gift do you get? We are told that He apportions them as He wills, as He determines. God is the one that apportions them. It's not about, oh, you deserve this gift. You're going to get it. You've been good. It's your behavior. No. God's sovereign distribution. He's sovereign. He will give them as He wills. He knows the people around you. He knows where you work. He knows where you study. He knows who you live with. And He works through those spiritual gifts. So as we seek God, He will give those gifts as He wills for His use. So we can all have the gifts. They're freely given and they're not a reward for good behavior. And as we've been given gifts, we're told that the call of God and the gifts are irrevocable. It means they won't be taken away. We've got to tap in to the spiritual gifts. And verse 7 actually says, to each is given the manifestation. To each. Everyone. To each. And it goes and it says, to another, this gift is given. To another, this gift is given. You will have at least one of those gifts. It's not like God goes, I'll give you one or I'll give you this many. You could have one operating, but you can have many operating at the same time, wherever you are, but it's up to God and He knows the situation that you're in. So who receives the gifts? We all have access to the gifts. But what is the purpose of these gifts? What was that, bro? Oh, good question. I'm glad you said that. So verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We got that up there? Show me that verse again. Verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What is it? Manifestation. Manifestation, you go, oh, they're manifesting. You hear that and people freak out. But manifestation is just a clear indication of the presence or the nature of someone, a person, or something. It's a clear indication of the presence or nature of a person or a thing. So when there's a manifestation of the Spirit through the gifts, it's an expression of God, of His power, of His love, of His existence. So we're told to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Another version says, for the profit of all. So the gifts are for building up the church. The gifts are for building up others in here, wherever God sends us. This is the purpose of the gift. Christianity is not a personal religion. Christianity is a personal relationship with God. And in a personal relationship with God, that is to lead to interpersonal relationships with others around us. And that's where the gifts come in. Those gifts, the spiritual gifts, are for others around us as we have interpersonal relationships. They're not just for self-glorification. The gifts are not for self-glorification, but they're for corporate edification, for the building up of the church. Are you guys with me? As we can see, there's so many different gifts. There's so much diversity in the gifts. I'll go through the gifts in a minute. But they come from the one source. So there is diversity, but in that diversity, there is unity. And the diversity in how the Spirit works through us shouldn't threaten our unity. See, the church for hundreds of years, from that time the Corinthian church was struggling with spiritual gifts, the church, there's been so much division, there's been so many denominations formed, and it's because of things like spiritual gifts. Because people haven't studied enough or people have interpreted in certain ways. So things have gone off their means. Like, no, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to deal with that. But these gifts are from God. So as Christians, we're to be outlets. We're to be rivers that flow. Because we have the Holy Spirit. The gifts are to be expressed through us. Not just containers. Not just dams. You know, a dam, the water stays in the dam. There's purposes for a dam, but the water doesn't flow like a river flows, like a stream flows. But God has created you and I to be conduits of God's presence to other people. 1 Peter 4, 8 to 11 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. The gifts are for serving one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Verse 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. The gifts are given to help you to fulfill your God-given purpose. The gifts are given to you and I to help us fulfill our God-given purpose. But also, that purpose is actually to witness to those around us, to witness God's love, God's power. So the gifts are given to help us to fulfill God's purpose for our lives and to witness to those around us. Remember, we just had Pentecost Sunday. A few weeks ago, we talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. The gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the gift that keeps on giving. God, Jesus, this is the gift that keeps on giving. Acts 1 verse 8 says, this is Jesus talking to his disciples as he's about to ascend to be with the Father after he's resurrected. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Acts 1 verse 8. You will receive power to be my witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When the power comes upon you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive power. This is why we have the Holy Spirit, which gives us the gifts so that we can be witnesses to people around us, but so that we that can help them fulfill God's call in their life. So what the Holy Spirit gives us is power. There's power tools. So when I think about the gifts of the Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, healing, faith, tongues, prophecy, discernment, distinguishing spirits, when I think of all those things, I see them as power tools that God gives us to fulfill His purpose for us and to spur others on. See, when I think of a power tool, it reminds me of one time where my wife and I bought this bed, new bed. I was excited. But this bed had the mat. We had the mattress, but then there was the frame. But then with the frame, you had to get all the slats. These slats didn't come already assembled. So then you had to literally get, I don't know how many bolts and nuts and screws and nails. So it took about more than an hour for me to get this thing together. Put the mattress on there. We go to bed. We seem to be sinking both to the middle. It's like, what's happened here? This took me forever. It was the worst sleep. It's great to have cuddles in bed, right? But that's just too much. You're close, like right in the middle, because this bed frame is not working properly. I need some space. Anyway, worst sleep ever. The next day, a mate of mine's a carpenter. He's around. I'm saying, mate, we bought this bed. Something's wrong with it. It's like, what happened? I'm like, oh, did this, did that. The screwdriver. Oh, it was hot. He goes, oh, bro, I've got some tools in the car. I'm like, oh, cool, come through. He comes through with this power tool. I'm thinking it's a drill or something, but it's a screwdriver, electric screwdriver. You guys know what happens. He fixes the thing up in like 2 minutes. I jump on the bed. I'm like, babe, come check this out. But that's because we used the right tool for the bed to fulfill its purpose, right? You got to use the right tools. We're like, oh, I'm a Christian. God, I love you. But we neglect the gifts. The gifts are power tools that God gives us to fulfill the purpose that He has given us. So what are the spiritual gifts? So the first one, it talks about wisdom. When you think of wisdom, wisdom is applying God's word to our situations. Applying God's word gives us wisdom. So wisdom is applying God's word to our situations to make godly decisions. That is what wisdom is. And that is a gift of the Spirit. You can share wisdom with people at your workplace, people in your families, because of what God has spoken to you through the word. So that is a gift of wisdom. The next gift is knowledge. Knowledge as a spiritual gift is referring to words of knowledge. How many times have you been in a situation where it's like, God, what is happening in my life? Lord, I need a word from you. You go to the word. Yeah, you're getting words. But then a brother or a sister comes up to you and prays for you or just encourages you with something. But you go, how did they know that I was going through that? But it's because God knows. And God works through people. And they'll say the right words at the right time that God has put an impression on their heart by the Holy Spirit to give you a word of knowledge. I don't know where I would be today without words of knowledge that other people have spoken over my life. So this is a gift of the Spirit that is available to us. And then there is faith. Faith is a gift of the Spirit. Now this faith is not just the faith, a great faith, where for us when we get saved, we need to have faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's when we're saved, that's faith. But this faith that's being talked about here is a special measure of faith that comes through the Spirit to believe for miracles, to believe for the impossible. So God puts things on your heart and you think, oh man, that's just impossible. But you ask for faith, He will give you faith. You get into the Word, He'll give you faith. The Word says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So there's a gift of faith. But it's not just believing for the impossible. The gift of faith is believing that no matter what, God's going to sustain you through that situation, even though the miracle might not come in the way you're expecting. We see in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're being told, worship the idols, worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gods. But they're like, we're not doing that. So the king says, we're going to throw you in the fire. into the fiery furnace, and let's see if your God's going to save you. These were men of faith. They say, even if our God does not, first they say, he's going to save us. But even if he doesn't save us, we will not worship your God. That is faith. That is faith. I'm sure you guys can relate to that. And you're like, Lord, I need that kind of faith. That's the kind of faith God wants you to operate with. And people around you will be encouraged by that faith when they see you going through situations. So we've got wisdom, we've got knowledge, we've got faith. The other one is healing. We heard about healing today in communion. The gift of healing. The gift of healings. There's supernatural healing, supernatural cures that God will give when it comes to sickness, when it comes to illness, when it comes to mental health illness, when it comes to our emotion. Healing is available, and we have access to the power of God. He's given it to us to pray for people, for them to be healed. And then there's miracles. That's another gift where miracles, you just know, that thing wouldn't have happened if God had not intervened. And miracles are still on the menu. They're not gone. God is like, just ask for it, ask for it, ask for it. So these are some of the spiritual gifts. And then there's prophecy. Prophecy is a spiritual gift. And prophecy is expressing the heart of God, the heart of the Father. It can be forthtelling or foretelling. Forthtelling is when you give someone a word of exhortation. It can be a word of encouragement or a word of warning. And God will put something in your heart, and you're obedient, and you step out and you share it with someone. That's prophecy. Or it can be something about the future. But all these gifts, we've got to operate in these gifts in love. It's not, hey, I've got the gift, I'm going to do this. Hey, I'm prophetic, bro. Let me tell you this. No. You got to really make sure you're actually hearing from God. You got to trust. We'll talk about this in other times, but there's prophecy, right? And then the next gift in the scripture is testing the spirits. It is distinguishing spirits. So when it comes to prophecy, you've actually, whatever someone speaks to you, whether they say it's prophecy or not, anything someone, even what I'm saying up here, don't take it as gospel. You've got to test it yourself against God's word. So this gift of distinguishing spirits is all about discernment. Saying, is this from God? Or is that guy smoking something? Like, what is he on about? The advice people give you, you've got to go back and say, does this line up with the word of God? So we need to know the word of God ourselves. Any prophetic word that I've ever heard, tell you what, none of it was a new thing. Hardly. It was a confirmation, because God's already put something of that sort in my heart. But he's like, you know what? I need to make this clearer to you, so I'm going to use someone else to be like, boom, this is what God has for you. So you got to test that thing. And there's so many other scriptures in the word that talk about distinguishing spirits. We have that. So don't struggle. Is this from God? Is this not from God? Go to his word. Ask him for discernment. And then the other gifts, it talks about tongues, and it talks about the interpretation of tongues. We've been talking about tongues for the last few weeks of the Pentecost Sunday, but the tongues that are being talked about here are not necessarily the tongues of Pentecost, where they were speaking specific languages that didn't need interpretation. The tongues that are being talked about here with what was happening in the Corinthian church is that people were coming up on the microphone, if they had a microphone, and they would just start speaking in tongues, addressing people. It's like, what does that mean? So if God's going to give you a word and a gift of tongues, there's got to be someone else to interpret that word. So there's that gift of tongues where you're like, man, there's a message from God that I have. And God will work in such a way that he'll either give you the tongues and the interpretation together, or there'll be someone in that space that'll also have the interpretation. Now, I've seen this here and there over the years, but I'm saying, God, we want more of it, because it just feels like, oh, that's just too much. We don't want to go there, but it's available. So I just encourage you for yourselves. We're limited in time here. We can't get into all of this, but just study. Do not be ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit. Study it and mind the word and find out what these gifts are all about. And what we need to remember is that all these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each individual as he wills. That's what verse 11 says. All these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit. So how do we work in these gifts? How do we operate in these gifts? We've got to be aware of them. We've got to know that the gifts are there. And And we've got to remember that there is room for all of us. See, the gifts, spiritual gifts, they're not just for the preacher. They're not just for the person with the mic. They're not just for the singer. They're not just for the person that's praying up at the altar. These gifts are for everyone. Wherever God has placed you, He will use you right there. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the gift that keeps on giving. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you have the gift that keeps on giving. But how do you know when it comes to these gifts, what gift you're operating? Because for some people, they'll really have a predominant gift that they just really operate in. There's a thing called the spiritual gifts test. You can find it online. And it's helpful. I've done a few tests. But who knows, with tests online, as helpful as they can be, it's all determined by what you put into the thing. Because it's like a survey. So you answer questions. Then it tells you what your gift is. You don't want to be labeled or restricted by that. It's cool to do a spiritual gifts test. But think about, for the last thousands of years, what spiritual gift tests were they doing? To work out what gifts they've got. They didn't have online. They didn't necessarily have all those tools and resources. We've actually got to pray. Pray to God, Lord, I want the gift. Lord, show me the gifts to operate in. Search your heart and God will direct you. God will show you. Our responsibility is to pray. And once you get a sensing of what that gift is, then find somewhere to express it. But just know wherever you are, God wants you to use those gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 says, 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, write it down for later. It doesn't say write it down for later, but I'm saying you write 1:14:2 for later. It says, pursue love and earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. All that we do in church, out of church, wherever we go, the motivation is to be love. See, Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, pursue love. Yes, earnestly desire the gift, especially that you may prophesy, because prophesying is declaring God's word into situations, into people. But it's got to be done out of love. If you pursue love, you see the gift coming. And then 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all that you do, everything that you do, let all that you do be done in love. So when we're here, all that we do, we're doing it in love. There's got to be an order in what we do. It's not like we're going to be restricted, but it's got to be in order. And that order comes when we think about the person next to us. Am I doing something that's really distracting, that I'm just trying to be showy? Not even just in church, but wherever you are. Or am I actually thinking about the other person? Is this out of self-ambition? Or is it, am I being outward focused? 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, but all things should be done decently and in order. So the best way to work out what your gift is to start serving. When we talk about serving in church, is to say, these gifts that we've talked about, they're all for building up the church. The church is about equipping individuals to go out into their daily lives and spread God's love in word, in deed. So, man, what is happening here? These gifts are not just for you. They're not just for me. So when you start serving in church, it takes so much to make what happens here happen, right? But when you start serving in church, God starts to show you what your gift is. We partner with you and say, hey, come do this, come do that. Don't wait to be asked, by the way. Just volunteer. You see a need, just step in. We've seen so many people stepping in, haven't we, Steph? And you start to see God work through you, through your spiritual gifts. So start serving and your gift will find you. Start serving and let your gift find you. You got to discover it. As you do that, you'll discover your gift and your gift will be developed as you do that. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, what then, brothers and sisters, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. It's all for the building up of the church. But the key to operating in all these gifts is also maturity. We're to be mature and we grow in that. It's so easy sometimes to misuse the gift, but to be mature in Christ, to know our identity in Christ, that I'm not identified and known because I pray or because I sing or because I give words of wisdom or because I speak in tongues or because I love God. That's not your identity. Your identity is a son and a daughter of God. And when it comes to gifts, God will actually give you, out of all those gifts, He'll give you any of those gifts at any time if you're seeking Him where it's needed the most. You might be in a hospital visiting someone and you feel the prompting, I need to pray for healing. Go for it. Do it. You know, I was at my son's school the other day and I was just talking to one of the dads. I know he's a Christian, but we haven't really talked too much about it. And he starts telling me that his dad's got COVID, but because of some pre-existing conditions, it was really scary for the family. And I'm thinking, oh man, I should pray. Should I not? Should I? We're at the playground. But I just prayed with him. I don't know what's happened with his dad now, but I just prayed. See, when you're earnestly desiring the gift, God will bring those gifts to mind and He'll put it on your heart. Just do it. And we worry what people think. Just do it. Yeah. The other day, my wife wakes me up really crazy hours of the night, about 2:15. She's in a lot of pain. She's going, oh, I think I'm going to go get some meds at the chemist. I'm thinking, it's 2:15. What are you talking about? Is she trying to get me to do it? I'm like, oh. She's like, no, I'll go. I'm like, no, I'll go. So I go to the chemist at 2:15 a.m. I'm just dragging myself there. This girl, like, seriously, doesn't she know I need to wake up to spend time with God in 3 hours? Like, she could have gone, but I wanted to be safe, right? So I do the husband thing. I get there to the chemist at 2:15 in the morning. There's a security guard. And then there's a guy who goes, oh, can I help you? He takes me to where the product is that I need. But he's like limping. I'm like, oh, bro, what's going on there? He tells me the story. He's got some infection. And he's like, I'm just counting down the 8 hours until this is done. In my head, I'm thinking, man, I should pray for this guy. Is there anyone around? No, it's just me and him and the security guard. I should pray for him. Oh, we go to the counter. I'm still asking him. He's talking about it. I'm like, oh, I should pray for this guy. But God, I'm here for my wife. Like, she needs medicine. God, you deal with this. Nah, pray. So I just go, all right, I'm going to break. Can I pray for you, man? He goes, oh, sure. He just bows his head quickly. And I start to pray for him for peace, for healing and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, mate, that's awesome. Bless you, man. Like, I don't know if I'm going to hear anything about it, whether he gets healed or not, but I'm like, God put an impression on my heart, a prompting. I've done it. So I'm walking out. I'm thinking, oh, this is why I got woken up. This is why I'm here. As I'm walking out, he goes, hey, man. I go, yeah. He goes, bro, that is the nicest thing anyone's ever done for me. I'm like, oh, cool. And then I said to him, mate, the Creator loves you. I said, he literally woke me up. I'm like, my wife is not well. Maybe that's the only reason I came here today. And I went into my car going, hey, I'm so happy I came here. You know, I was excited because I came here to start off with not happy. My wife has done whatever. But then now I'm like, God's in this. And then I actually say, what's your name? He goes, Josh. I go, look into the meaning of that name. Because he doesn't know Joshua. That's a godly name. So as you earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, God will put you in situations where there's opportunities to express them. Pray for miracles. Give a prophetic word. Whatever it is, wherever you go, God has put you there for a reason. Now with all these things, let's come back to love. Pursue love, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. It's so easy to just think about the gifts. But actually the source is God. That's where the gifts come from. They're not your, oh, what's my gift? They're not your gift. They're gifts of the Spirit. So what I believe God wants us as a human self to do, what he wants you and I to do, is to pursue Him. Pursue God, who is the gift that keeps on giving, and the spiritual gifts will chase after you. Pursue the gift that keeps on giving, and the spiritual gifts will chase after you. I can turn that into a song. Pursue God, the gift that keeps on giving, and the spiritual gifts will chase after you. Yeah, we'll talk about that later, Steph. We can turn it into a song. But this is the key. We are to pursue the gift that keeps on giving, and the spiritual gifts will chase after us. As we pursue God in our devotional time, make time at the start of the day to hear from God. Spend time with God. Hear from Him. Get to know Him. He'll reveal things to you about Him. Reveal things to you about you. As you pursue Him, seriously, the gift of the Spirit, all those things, wisdom, knowledge, healing, faith, they'll drip off you, seriously. When you're just focusing on God, I want to know more of you. God, I want to serve you. Pursue love and earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Pursue the gift that keeps on giving, and the spiritual gifts will chase after you. Because you know what? God is love. Yep. We're talking about pursuing love. God is love. The world tells us love is love. Love is not just love. God is love. Love is God. 1 John chapter 4, 16 says, so we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So when I say pursue the gift that keeps on giving, I'm saying pursue love. In however you're serving people, and however you're speaking to your wife, to your family, to your boss, to the people who work for you, do it in love. God, give us a new revelation on what love is. And let's remember, what's the purpose of all these gifts? For the common good, for the profit of all. Pursue the Holy Spirit. Practice God's presence every day. Spend time with Him. Have God in mind in whatever you're doing. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? He paid the price on the cross. He died and He rose again, all so that we could have a relationship with Him through the gift. We have a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, the gift that keeps on giving. So the Holy Spirit works through us to reach others. It's not just about you and me. It's about those that God has put around us.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.